That's their show on the radio. You don't like it? Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check it.
The best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
I was gonna rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one could stop me. Link to the Conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody vicious. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from their cloth.
Some people are talented and some people are gifted. I'm God gifted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to BDSI Art Networks presents Hour of Power in Sports. McPhee, can you believe that I was on mute the whole time? You know what? Like, I was on mute. I'm here with my big intro. I'm saying that we're revamping the show, and I noticed it because I'm here with my buddy Javier. He'll come on the line in just a second. He's actually at my house, but we're going to talk to you in a little bit. And then I look at my phone, and I see the damn mute button on, man. Radio fail. What's going on, McPhee? Welcome back to the program.
Wow, man, it's a great start for us to have, man. Coming back in the air, we're on mute.
And we're on mute, great. Right? What's up with that?
What's going on, man? I can only hope in August we have the ship righted and we don't have no more of these errors.
We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen. We will be rebranding to the Hour of Power in Sports and Entertainment. Yes. Of course, we're not going to go away from our roots. We are still going to continue talking mostly majority sports, but McPhee loves his entertainment. It is his show as well. He has input on this show, and he's like, Hugo, why don't we do something when it comes to entertainment? I agree with him. If you guys remember from the old days of the Hour of Power in Sports, Mike Knox used to play movie reviews, so we might as well make this the Hour of Power in Sports and Entertainment. So come to you. That'll be in August, as well as the relaunch of No Foul Play with my buddies Rick, Andy, and a new co-host, Kevin Morrison from Scotland. We'll be talking, obviously, everything soccer, like we like to call it here in the United States, or football elsewhere. But tonight, we are going to talk a little bit about soccer, but we're going to talk about it a little bit later on. But first, I am going to go ahead and introduce my brother from another mother. What's going on? Javier, what's going on? Welcome to the program.
Welcome, everybody. Very excited for this upcoming fight, this UFC fight. I'm a huge fight fan. looking forward to the stacked card coming, and, you know, really happy to join you guys and talk a little bit about some fights.
Awesome.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to go ahead and do. We're going to go ahead and kick off this show with a little bit of NBA free agency, which we need to talk about this, McPree, because it's a lot of things going on right now in the NBA, man, and it is the hour of power. It's not going to be just a UFC show. I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor. And here's the reason why I'm going to give you the floor, because you've been very vocal with your Miami Heat organization. We all know the big news that broke out after Independence Day when Kevin Durant decided to leave the ship and go off where he can't. Well, you know what? The team that actually goes in and kicks their ass every single time, which are the Golden State Warriors. And Dwayne Wade finally hangs his boots in Miami after 12, 13 seasons, whatever it was with the Miami Heat. McPree, you are the resident Heat fan. I need you to talk about this because I really haven't talked to you about this since this news broke out.
Yeah, well, I mean, before we head on to Wade, I just want to touch really quick on the Durant thing. Although it's crazy what we had just witnessed now, and, you know, a lot of people are saying that pretty much Durant is a chicken, or he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to win one on his own, and he decides to go to, you know, the Warriors, which is a stacked up team already, and now it pretty much looks like some sort of fantasy 2K team now. But I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, man, it's you're there to win championships, man, and you know, him going from OKC to the Warriors, yeah, it's gonna be crazy, man. But I mean, if they can manage to make it work, I'm very excited to see what's gonna come out of that, you know, off of that.
Yeah, I you know what, the CEO has finally called in. Really quick before we talk UFC, Mike, I know that we've already danced around this in the Soul in Sports, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, the CEO of the BDSR Network, Mr. Mike Knox. We're a little bit on earlier tonight. I got his blessing because, obviously, the UFC card is stacked, and me and my buddy, we got to go grab seats to watch this monumental event at the Ale House. But, Mike, really quick about the NBA free agency. McPree just talked about his beloved Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade, going to your hometown of Chicago, and I'm sure you're going to want to debate Ron McPree, because obviously he is a Miami Heat fan, and I'm glad that you called it because you called it at the perfect time, Mike.
Okay. What's going on, McPree?
What's going on, Mike?
What's going on? I'm chilling, man. But Miami, a different kind of sexy and a different kind of basketball team next year. A playoff team next year, a team next year that would 100% be a lottery in the lottery of the NBA draft.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, I was a little bitter at D Wade at first for leaving, but I mean, I kind of took a seat back and, you know, analyzed the whole thing. And, you know, my perspective from being down here in Miami and being a Miami Heat fan, I honestly think that the organization did him wrong, and you know, it's messed up that he has to go and play in Chicago now, which, you know, a lot of people are saying that Chicago now becomes a better team, but I mean, do they really become a better team with D-Wade there? And then,
they wasn't a playoff team last year, so I think they're a playoff team with D-Wade. So yeah, they're a better team because this team will make the playoffs. And unfortunately, and I hate when I say that, but it's the truth. The East is really not good. They could be what Boston was last year, that fourth, third seed in the East. I think Toronto stays there because they got DeRozan back. I think the Knicks are improved because I'm a believer in Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. I think you finally give Carmelo Anthony somebody that knows how to run the triangle, in my opinion, and Derrick Rose was vastly underrated as a pure point guard. He had to do what he had to do in Chicago because he had nobody to help him. Then I got Chicago right there between a 3 and a 4, anywhere between a 3 and a 5 seed. I think as far as the wing players are concerned, your point guard, shooting guard, small forwards, you got the probably best three group of defenders in the NBA with Rondo, Wade, if healthy, obviously, and Jimmy Butler.
Right. And then my other concern is Rondo because, I mean, as his track record goes, man, he's pretty much been a cancer everywhere he goes, man. So it's going to be interesting to see how him and D-Wade get along. Because, you know, D-Wade, you know, he has a no-nonsense attitude sometimes, and he ain't shy to yell
at
you.
I already like the fact that Rondo has already said that it's not his team. Yeah, that's the team. So I think that's always a good, you know, as you just said, the word I was going to use. That's always a plus when you can get somebody to talk like that first. So.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sad, obviously. You know, he lost their, you know, franchise player. You know, he was one of my favorite players of all time. And, you know, but now he goes to Chicago, man. Let's see what they do there. The Heat are obviously sunk. So, I mean, unless these two rookies from last year, Winslow and Richardson, really step up and they have this sort of run-and-gun offense now, you know, because they're going to want to run, you know, with Goran at the point. And so, I mean, let's see where they go. I mean, if worse comes to worse, I mean, there's nothing left in free agency anymore, so I don't know what they're going to do to fill up that roster. But, I mean, you know, hopefully we get a good lottery pick next year.
today I was actually in the barber shop, and my barber actually came out and said to me something crazy, and I'm like, how about Rudy Gates in Miami next? How would that improve the Miami Heat? And I looked at him with a face, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Rudy Gay to Miami.
To me, Rudy Gay is that player. Rudy Gay is a little bit better of a player of Joe Johnson caliber. And I mean that in a guy who's a journeyman, who, in my opinion, is there for the check more than he's there to participate and be great. He has Lamar Odom kind of ability, but he plays beneath it. And so for me, Rudy Gay doesn't improve anybody unless Rudy Gay is a part of a, you know, if you put Rudy Gay in Cleveland, he plays because you got LeBron James to push him. You get what I'm saying? So I don't think Rudy Gay is the kind of player that can make or break any team. Not this stage of his career, and it's just not in his makeup.
McPree, you want to get on this Rudy Gay? What you think?
Well, I mean, like Mike says, he's just a guy. So I don't really know how much.
It's not really gonna make or break your team. Is what you're saying?
He's gonna fill out a roster spot pretty much. So. I mean, well, whatever. Right. We'll see where it goes. It's, you know, they got Whiteside back, so I guess they're investing in Whiteside, and that's their future. They're going to go big, and then let's see if Whiteside comes to fruition. I mean, he's a max player now, so better play like it.
All right, so from where we came through, though, Mike Knox, I know you called in not to really talk free agency.
This is the moment UFC fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time!
UFC 200, Mr. Mike Knox, McPree, my buddy Javier, who is a huge MMA fan, and Mike, I know for a little bit guys that I have you on here because I know you're at work, and I you called in right now because you're on your break, but my buddy Javier, he's actually here over my house, and we actually decided to make this show with him because if you think that you and I are UFC guys, this guy is the UFC guy. This guy trains MMA. He knows everything about the UFC. In fact, there are things that you and I can learn from Javier. Let me give it up to my buddy Javier. What's going on? Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for that intro, Hugo. Appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, I've been watching UFC for a long time, you know, trained jiu-jitsu, and very excited for this card. The massive card is looking to, you know, possibly break Conor McGregor's pay-per-view record. I mean, it's just completely stacked from top to bottom. I mean, even from the prelims, I mean, the prelims start with complete veterans, Diego Sanchez, Gomi, and it's a lot of variability. I mean, now we don't have John Jones. John Jones tested positive. He's not fighting Cormier again, but they brought in the legend Anderson Silva to replace. So I'm just very interested to see what happens. I mean, there's a lot of great fights.
Really quick, Javier, now that I have, you know, we talked about this on the Soul in Sports. I think Mike was it on Thursday when the news broke out about John Jones. I think we talked about it on Thursday. Really quick though, Javier, what you think about John Jones now? Obviously, his sample test did come back positive, so that's some breaking news from yesterday until today. And the biggest ban that he could get is actually potentially 2 years. So I'm going to ask you this question, and then I'm going to defer the question over to Mike Knox because I need to know what does this do with John Jones' career? Because I basically do think that he is done. If that's the case, if he's banned for 2 years, as much as Mike Knox likes to not admit it, John Jones is done. Go ahead, Javier, and then I'll let Mike Knox elaborate on it.
I mean, I can't go as far as saying that John Jones is done, but it's definitely going to hurt his career. It's definitely going to hurt his brand, just his overall relationship with the UFC. I mean, 2 years is a long fight. I mean, a long time for a mixed martial artist. I mean, potentially, you know, it's going to hurt him. Like you said, he might not be ever the same. It's unfortunate. I do feel bad. I watched his press conference when he announced it, and I couldn't help but feel bad for him. I mean, even though he, you know, who knows? Everything hasn't come out. You know, I don't want to go and say anything until I get all the facts. But I mean, it's a great fight. You got Cormier fighting Silva, and you know, Silva will come. Cormier's a lot bigger.
Javier, forget about the fight. All in due process, we're going to talk about the fight. I just wanted to ask about John Jones. So now I need to ask Mr. Mike Knox. I'm going to defer to it. Your boy, he might be banned for 2 years. Your boy that you think that he could beat Daniel Cormier in a rematch, which I already told you, I think DC wanted this fight. You saw he was crying. Dana White couldn't believe it. He had to find him an opponent quick. Come on, Mike. You don't give enough credit to Daniel Cormier.
Javier, let me just let you in on something here. I have nothing against Daniel Cormier. I was a huge Cormier fan, and I still think he's one of the best fighters in the UFC. But remember that little video he made year before last, all about them cakes? From that point on, I stopped supporting Daniel Cormier. That is it. That is all. Now, as it relates to John Jones, you know, it's sad. And I think, if he has a 2-year ban, he'll be coming back at 31 of his birthdays next month because he's a Leo like yours truly. And so I think he will be a little long in the tooth. But the thing is that he would have to stay relevant. And I know this is, you know, we are wrestling fans. I know you and I are, Hugo. He better hope Vince McMahon gives him a call. Because as of right now, where's he going to go fight? He's going to go fight in Brazil. I mean, not Brazil. He's going to go fight in, like, you know, Taipan or Japan. And I don't think that his star that is bright in his mind is big enough. I mean, or is Japan is a big enough, you know, spotlight for him and what he can do. So I do think his career is in very much jeopardy. The question is, like Javier said, we got to find out the facts so we can know how long the ban is. If we're looking at 2 years, I think he really might be done. But I have to give credit to Dana Dickhouse White, which I am not the biggest fan of. And the interview he did on our Fox Sports Colin Calvert show, when I thought he was going to rip John Jones one. You know, he said, I haven't spoke to him. I don't want to speak to him. If he called me right now, I don't want to speak to him. But he went in further on to say, I don't believe for a second that he knowingly cheated. And I thought that weighed big coming from someone like Dana White, who we know is the mouth of MMA right now, and especially UFC. So when Dana White said that, and I said that on the show, I don't believe that he took anything on purpose to cheat. But I'm also with Dana Dickhouse White when he mentioned, come on, John. This is the biggest fight of UFC career and possibly your career. You don't take something new at this stage. You know, you got to watch yourself. And I also blame this on his team, okay? And I tell you, this is why. He had the booger sugar problem, okay? Well, if you're going to sit here and be somebody's roadie, be somebody's sidekick, be someone's entourage, my favorite TV show of all time is Entourage. Not one time besides the coke binger that he went on for a little bit with the porn star did Vinny do. They made sure it's his entourage. They kept him grounded. That's what LeBron James – you may hate LeBron James, but you don't ever hear LeBron James's mouth or nose in anything bad because his team is supportive of him. John Jones needs to get a new damn team, because this is a travesty on his career and UFC 200. And guess what? The biggest part here, guys, UFC 200 is still a great damn pay-per-view, and I paid for it this morning. Can't wait.
I can't believe you actually paid for that, Mike. I thought you were going to be smarter than that, because I know you are a smart man. I thought you were going to go out with your buddies.
Well, no.
Or maybe
I'm having a fight party. I go, I'll be 41 next year, man. And, you know, going out in public where I can't, I'm one of them guys, like when it comes to wrestling and certain pay-per-views, I want to hear the commentary. I don't want to just hear a bunch of people yelling and me watching the fight. That's not my thing anymore. You know what I mean? Now, if I had a group of friends here in Virginia where I moved to that was going out, then possibly. But I'm a homer, man. So I got a 60-inch TV and all that good stuff for a reason. So
well,
people coming over, drinks and everything flowing, you know.
Well, Mike Knox, obviously, he said, and we asked this question yesterday on Soul and Sports. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it, so I'm going to ask it right now. And Mike Knox already got ahead of me. He said to buy or not to buy. Javier, if we weren't going out tonight to watch the fight, if you were stuck at home doing what you do with your full-time job, which I know it's a pretty hectic job, would you buy this card? Is now the exclusion of John Jones enough to buy this card? Because I agree with Mike. I think it's still a hell of a card to buy. Hell, even the prelims themselves could be called UFC 200 and a half.
I would definitely still fight buy this card. I mean, still pretty stacked. I still think it's a great card. It still has a lot of star power behind it. I will.
Javier and Hugo, before you get McFree in there, I always say this to people, and those are the people out there listening, and make sure you go to download this podcast and Bleacher, on Stitcher as well as iTunes. But check this out, guys. You know that UFC put – I paid for UFC 100, right? And I had, Brock Lesnar and Sugar Rashad Evans, I think, were the headliners, and that was pretty much it. They have been preparing for this for so long that it started on Thursday when I could not believe Rafael dos Santos got dismantled like that in the first round on the fight pass. Then last night you had the Ultimate Fighter finale where Zizik, I mean, I can't even pronounce her damn name. She is truly the female version of Dominic Cruz. She is a bad – listen, that chick can beat some dudes, okay? And then the prelims tonight, then you got the early prelims also on the fight pass, including the main event. If you're not a UFC fan and you watch this pay-per-view, I guarantee you, you're going to forget about boxing for about 3 weeks.
I completely agree.
All right. Sorry, Javier. Go ahead, man. I wanted to give. Sorry about that, because Javier's actually walking into my house. He's walking into my house. We're trying to stay in different rooms so we don't have that echo. Because
I know we don't like having that echo.
McPree, we know, and let me divert this now the question to McPree. McPree, I know that you are like Wally, resident of Soul and Sports, trying to come up in certain UFC events. I know that you're a very busy man with your movie career, which, by the way, congratulations on your success.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
My question to you is, you watch John Jones. I know you know the big dogs, John Jones, Anderson Silva, Daniel Cormier. Is this a fight that if – and I know you're not going to pay for it, but if you were not an avid watcher, but kind of like a normal watcher that you – if you catch a fight, you're watching it, would you pay for this fight? Especially now with, one of the big dogs, John Jones, not being on the card.
I mean, the only reason I would actually watch, would be to watch Brock, obviously, being a wrestling fan, and seeing his success with the, UFC and him not fighting for a while. That would be the reason I would buy the fight. I mean, John Jones was interesting to see, but now that he's out, they're going to throw in Spider Silva, which he's still, a pretty good fighter, but I don't know. I just think it doesn't draw as much attention. So, I would watch just simply for Brock because of the household name.
Well, speaking of this, Mike Knox, what's up with Dana Dickhouse White, like you like to call him?
Ain't my phone anymore. It says Dickhouse on it.
Brock Lesnar, it was supposed to be Lesnar versus Hunt, but now he catapulted the women. So now it's Misha Tate.
Right.
Versus who is it again? Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
How do you feel of that now? The women are actually highlighting UFC 200 instead of the return of the beast and Carton himself, the next big thing, Brock Lesnar.
I do have a problem with that personally because I think Brock's the only. Well, I won't say the only because that would be completely wrong. But he's a bigger draw than anybody else on the card, and I think that it was the UFC other powers that beat it we don't hear about too much that made him switch that up. Because at first he announced that was the main event. And then I heard from Champ Creed that's down in Vegas this whole week taking in the festivities for us at Fox Sports that said that the press came out or the I forget what you call it, the information came out, press release came out that it was going to be Misha Tate. They wanted to have a 5-round championship fight be the main event. But I think it was the pressure that Brock Lesnar and the whole wrestling thing and how the MMA crowd that doesn't really quite go with it. All the way, even though people believe that Brock is a bad man. So that's just my belief that that's why. But I'm not a fan of it. Like, why would you put the women there in the main event? And but and I'm also hearing, you know, that whoever wins this fight, Ronda Rousey, and then we'll have a face-off after that match is over. So, and that will be the next fight, which I definitely don't want to see if Misha Tate wins another Misha Tate Ronda Rousey fight. That's just me. McFree?
Do you guys think that, I mean, now I'll pose this question to you, Mike, and Javier. I mean, do you guys think that some of this, you know, UFC card, you know, the actual pay-per-view in a whole has lost some of its steam just because of stuff like what happened with Jones and the fact that, you know, Ronda Rousey decided she didn't want to participate and you know, they added the Brock fight not too long ago. So, I mean, like, isn't that like
If you look at the card, like I said, speaks for itself. Yeah, you lost no Ronda Rousey. Yes, you don't have a Conor McGregor, who's an idiot who didn't want to be a part of the card because, in my opinion, he's afraid of Nate Diaz. You don't have the John Jones. So you're missing your biggest stars. However, every other star that should be a household name, like a Jose Aldo, who got dismantled the last time we saw him in 13 seconds. But this card is stacked from beginning. Like I think Javier said it, or Hugo said it. This could be – the prelims could be called UFC 200 and a half. There's nothing – there's not a single weak moment on this card, and you got to give all credit to UFC for that. Your opinion, Javier?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. Also agree on the fact that I don't think Misha Tate and Amanda Nunes should be the main event because just for the plain fact that, you know, you got so many good fights before then, you're not going to look forward to the main event.
Right.
it's just a fact. I mean, everybody's going to come to go watch Brock Lesnar, massive of a man, take on the brick house of
now,
Mark
can
Hunt.
I say this? Javier, what do you think about this one? I thought when John Jones was out of this fight, right, two things I think UFC should do. That's one, I think they have two replacements on hand at all times. So if something like this happens, somebody else is already training for the fight, not someone just coming in short days' notice. They've been training and ready. My second thing, I wouldn't have instantly told Mark Hunt he had a different opponent. I'd have gave Brock Lesnar to Danny Cormier. And I think that's a great fight that people could want to see and get excited for.
Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Cormier. Brock Lesnar. Mike, yo, you watch professional wrestling. That dude is he could be 300 pounds plus against a 205. Come on, Mike. And then you give all the stick out to Conor McGregor because he went up in weight.
He's not 205, okay? He walks around at 260, 270, okay? He's at middleweight, which means he fights at 250 easily. So it makes a better fight because he's a wrestler and Brock's a wrestler. But the reason why that fight wouldn't happen, the reason why we do have Brock versus Hunt, because Vince McMahon has some say in who Brock's fighting. They don't want to give Brock the biggest, toughest opponent that could really destroy anything he has for WWE. He has to maintain. So that's why, with all due respect to Mark Hunt, who's a credible fighter, who if he puts some paws on Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar's going to bleed and run and get knocked out. But truth be told, Brock Lesnar should dominate Mark Hunt.
Actually, I would be more interested in watching that. It would take it back to the old school days of the UFC when it would be like, you know, a 300-pound guy against like 175-pound jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Hey, what are you talking about, too, Hugo? When you just said that when Brock Lesnar beat Randy Couture, that was a 65-pound difference when he won the UFC heavyweight title. That was a mismatch.
It's a totally different UFC now, Mike. This is like Rey Mysterio versus the Big Show.
You hear him, y'all, right? You hear he gets upset, right? And I don't dislike Conor McGregor. I just don't like anybody who talks about the best ever, TBE. That's all. You mess with TBE?
Okay.
My friend.
All right, listen. We're both part of the money team. You and I both love the money team. We all know Floyd Mayweather. And by the way, Javier's a huge boxing fight too, and he might disagree with me. But hey, this is our show. This is me and Mike Knox show and McFree show. So we believe, with the exception of McFree, that Floyd Money Mayweather is the best fighter in the world, pound for pound. However, that's just you hating on Floyd Mayweather if he would actually go up in weight and fight someone in a different weight division, and then he got his butt kicked, and then what? You're not going to hate it on him.
But hold on, yes, that's what he gets, though. Like, with all due respect, right? Yes, I give him all the props in the world for saying, I'll fight you, okay? I have nothing against that, all right? But you cannot bite off more than you can chew. And he did.
And now you're going to give this guy, now you're going to give, and let's be real, right? Nick Diaz, or Nate Diaz, I forget, I get confused by the brothers, right? The younger one, right? He's not even the best of the brothers, and they always never show up for big fights. He had less than 10 days notice, and he lost. So now you're going to get this bigger fighter, time to prepare, who's a better wrestler? Listen, the Conor McGregor era could be over. He better hope he catches him with a devastating right or left hook, because that fight might be over before you could think supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Javier, you have anything to say to Mike Knox nonsense? Because he talks a lot of trash, too, by the way. He likes to talk trash about Conor McGregor. You should hear how Mike Knox is. Don't get me wrong. That's my brother from another mother, and we all know that I love Mike Knox. But some of the things that comes out of his mouth are just blasphemous.
Blasphemous? I bet you your whole crew agrees with me.
Okay, Javier.
I mean, of course you do.
Of course you do. You're gonna kiss the CEO's butt, don't you?
I mean, I love Conor McGregor. I mean, in my opinion, he's really obviously he's not as good as he thinks, because he thinks he's like a god, a legend.
No,
but he's great.
I can't.
He does
turn.
Have
I
skills.
Gotta turn.
And I just think Nate Diaz is just a tough dude, man. I mean, he could fight, and he's bigger than McGregor, so it's a tough matchup. But my pick in the rematch, I believe Conor McGregor is going to come on top. I really do.
Well, he better, or UFC is really in trouble.
Is there a rematch, by the way? Did they sign already for UFC 203?
August 2nd, UFC 201. This fight goes
on the next
month.
I thought it was the one with CM Punk, when CM Punk's debuting. His punk ass decides to actually debut, because I don't know about Phil Brooks. I just think he's scared of the UFC, to be honest with you. He keeps on faking all these injuries and saying that his back hurts. Yeah. And everyone knows that I'm a huge CM Punk fan, because I love CM Punk. I know Mike Knox always thought of CM Punk.
When's that
going
to finally fight, man?
That's supposed to be
September.
Next month, but – oh, it's
September?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing with Mr. Phil Brooks. I don't think he's ever coming back to wrestling, so he better put all his all on this. So,
that's true. No, I agree with you. And if he comes back to wrestling, Mike, it's not going to be. It won't be the WWE. It'll be New Japan Pro Wrestling. It'll be a Ring of Honor, because Triple H is winning with that sledgehammer. He'll bring it out of the bag. He really don't care. Javier, you're right in front of the computer. Hey, I'm sorry. You know, I got to take a jab at Triple H. I know you're a Triple H guy. I understand that, and that's okay. We still love you regardless. We understand.
Hey,
what's wrong with the game, bro?
What's wrong with the game?
You too. You like how you like to bury people, right? Just like you bury Daniel Bryan.
He didn't bury anybody. He didn't bury anybody. It's not a wrestling show. He didn't. It's your show. I'll be quiet. Not my show anymore.
Javier, you're in front of the computer, man. Let's go ahead and go run through the score and get our picks in, because we could lose Mike Knox at any moment. So I didn't get to hear his picks yesterday. I didn't get to go back and listen to the show. So go ahead and start running through the cards. And by the way, Mike, I think we'll go quick, because I don't know how much time I'm going to have with you. But I think we should also pick the prelims, because the prelims are just fantastic, man.
I got about 20 more minutes.
All right, go ahead, Javier.
Yeah, so I'm just going to run in and throw my picks. First fight, you got North.
Javi, this is the way we do it. You list a match, and then you make your pick, and then you go around, okay?
Okay. All right, so you got Northcutt versus Marine, and I'm going with the Wonder Boy, Northcutt, you know, Mr. Perfect, even though he lost his last fight. Then you got Dillashaw versus Asu Sao. Dillashaw coming back from his loss, losing his championship. I got a.
Hold up.
You know what?
Hold up. Did you listen to what I just said? I said,
like
choose your fight. Choose the fight. You make your pick, and then you ask McPree, you ask Mike Knox, and then you ask me. And then you go to next fight.
All right, perfect. So I got Northcutt versus Marin, and Northcutt wins by decision.
McPree? Go ahead and choose, because I don't know you know none of these guys.
Yeah. I got Northcutt by decision also.
Sweep the leg, Johnny. I got the Karate Kid bad boy himself. Sweep the leg, Johnny. I got him winning, baby, by a second round TKO. Superman kicked Karate Kid himself. Sage Northcutt is back. And he's going to walk through this guy like it's hot butter on some pancakes, baby. Woo!
Let's go ahead and make this a 4-for-4. I got Northcutt as well. So go ahead, Howie. Go ahead.
All right. Then we got Dillashaw, TJ Dillashaw fighting Rafael Asunsao. And I really like Dillashaw. He wins by TKO in the second round.
I got one with the other
guy.
Friend of program, I've interviewed him several times, so I got to go with TJ Dillashaw, but also by second round TKO.
You know what? I always like to make fun of the flyweights. I know that's like Mike's one of favorite divisions. By the way, I hate the flyweights. I don't know why.
How much does
it
weigh? Like 120?
Yeah, like
something like
120,
that.
125.
I don't know why Javier and Mike Knox like to look at the flyweights, like Mighty Mouse, for example. I think he's a joke of a character.
You're crazy.
No disrespect to you.
Crazy.
You know, I don't like them flyweights. Anyway,
real fast. Go to my Instagram or go to Soul and Sports Twitter account. Did you watch UFC fighters of all time? They had a top 200.
I saw that this morning.
List.
I didn't get to watch it.
Okay. I watched the entire 5 hours of this thing, okay?
Jesus.
Mighty Mouse is ranked number 7 on their list.
Boom.
So I'm going to say.
He weighs like 110 pounds.
Maybe we should put him against Brock Lesnar. Maybe we should put him against Brock Lesnar since you like those type of fights.
That's not what I was getting at. You cannot talk about Danny Cormier and Hugo not get upset about it because he's all about them cakes too. Let me find out.
I'm going to take Mr. the man himself, TJ Dillashaw. I love TJ Dillashaw. And I think if he wins this fight, he will be a title contender again, guys. And I think he was
absolutely
a fighting champion. And I would love to see TJ Dillashaw once again fight for that belt. Go ahead, Javier. Continue on, bro.
Perfect. Then you got Johnny Hendricks, former champion, fighting Ultimate Fighter winner Kevin Gastelum. And I'm really about this, but I'm going for the upset. I'm going with Kevin Gastelum winning a decision. Yeah, I know. Hendricks actually missed weight. He didn't make the 170 limit. I just think Kevin Gastelum's going to come in hungry.
Yeah, I think it'll be a draw, and they'll knock each other out in the third round.
The comedian. I didn't know he missed weight, and I'm mad because I'm not. I'm driving, and I can't go back to our Flock predictor page. You still participate in those, Hugo? The Flock predictor?
Hell no, man. I left that Powers BS group.
Oh, okay.
If you know Powers.
Okay. The only time I'm ever there is for the Pretenders. Other than that, I don't ever go in there. But I picked him as a Pretender. But now that I'm hearing this news, he didn't make weight, and I was torn also. In that fight, I think this has the potential of being fight of the night, to be honest with you. If Johnny's hungry, this could be a good fight. I like the youngster myself, man, and I got to go with maybe it's hard to pick against Johnny, but I think he loses his fight, man. He missed weight. That means he's not ready. I can't stand fighters that don't make weight. It's really annoying to me when you don't make weight. So I'm going with the youngster, Kevin, with the upset as well.
Maybe it was hanging out with Jones.
Maybe he was. So we're doing some of that snort candy, like Mike likes to say.
Oh,
but,
booger sugar.
The booger sugar, excuse me. But you know what? I love Johnny Hendricks, and I know that after his fight at UFC 167 to Georges St. Pierre, really messed up with his head because, you know, he's after that fight, he's 2-for-3. And you know me, Mike.
Yeah, but he won that fight.
Hold on.
And then, you know, DSP's my favorite.
Yeah,
fighter.
I think. Yeah, I know it is. And I agree with you. I thought he won the fight, just like I thought Alexander Gustafsson beat John Jones, but that's a different story for a different, you know, for a different discussion.
No, he didn't. But anyway.
You could tell how much I hate John Jones. But anyway.
I hate John Jones so much.
After that, to be honest with you, man, he's been 2-3.
I know that, that he's been in his head, man. I just think he needs redemption now. Fighting at a catchweight, I agree with you, Mike. I don't think that he's ready, but I am going to go just because my heart tells me to, because I like Johnny Hendricks. I'm going with a Johnny Hendricks win. He has to win. If not, Dana White, he might say peace.
He might
because
be gone.
You know me when
he
it
might.
Comes to this.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to these loss and win and loss records, you lose more than two or three, you're gone at the UFC. So he needs to win this fight.
Yeah, I like to see him in Strikeforce, though.
you mean UFC Light? Are you talking about Bellator? Not Strikeforce, but Bellator.
Yeah, I'm going to say Bellator. Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead, Javier. What's the next one, bro?
Then you got a couple vicious women. You got the wrestler Kat Zingano versus Juliana Pena.
You know who I got too, right? You already know. We're already in sync. Go ahead, Amir.
I got my girl Pena, man. Venezuela. I gotta represent Latin America.
I think she submits her.
Which one looks more like a man? In the third round.
What are you saying, McFree?
Which one of them looks more like a man?
They both she looks good too. Did you see her on that press conference though when she was about to fight Ronda Rousey? She was looking good. And she was looking better than Ronda Rousey in that press conference.
With the exception of Ronda Rousey, I think the women, when they look like the men, they usually win. So whichever one of them looks like a man, I'll take her.
So you're gonna go with Kat Zingano
in the fight.
That's Zingano.
Yeah, I disagree because I'm in love with Pena. I think she's incredibly freaking attractive, yo. Because my favorite in the UFC is Miss Paige VanZant. Personally, I've been on her for years before she even got to UFC. But I like Pena. I fought her on that Ultimate Fighter, and I think it's her time to go. So I'm going with Pena in this fight. Third round submission.
You're going with third round submission. I'm in love also with Juliana Pena. I think she is so sexy, so talented also. What was that fight that she had, Javier? Was it UFC? Bro, it happened last year, and I remember she knocked out at it was like a Peruvian Slovakian girl. I forgot who it was, and she looked good in the ring or in the octagon. But anyway, I forgot who it was.
Yeah, that was a round one knockout. She beat Milana Dudieva.
Yeah. I have to go with my girl Juliana Pena. Which, by the way, here's my question, Mike and Javier: if Juliana Pena wins, can she be a contender after Ronda Rousey gets her shot?
Well, two different weight classes. She's in the strawweight division with the girl
who's
here for the title.
The girl with J. The girl with the J. The J last name. Well, weird, yeah.
The girl Jadzic, who completely kicked ass last night. I'm sorry. That girl, I don't think nobody's beating her unless they knock her out. So, but, yeah, I think she definitely get a rematch. She had her belt. She lost. And she gets this win back to be her second straight win. I think she goes back for a title contender.
Totally agree. She should get if she wins impressively, she should get the title shot.
No, she should get it, all right.
She can get it, for sure. She can get that title shot. Continue on, Javi.
Then we got Cain Velasquez fighting Travis Brown. This is a barn burner right here. Cain coming back against big boy Travis Brown. I would have to say, I mean, this – I would say Ken Velasquez pulls this one. I think he's gonna, you know, show his heart. He's gonna fight, and he's gonna probably win a decision against Travis Brown.
I'm taking Velasquez too. I'm going with the bet.
All right. I'm going with Travis Brown.
The better bet.
I'm going with Travis Brown. Ooh. I want to like Cain. I really do. His injuries and everything, and I get his motor, I get his heart. It's a flip a coin fight, and just for my own personal reasons, I got to go with Travis Brown, the man who knocks off Ronda Rousey. Maybe she should know how to do the arm bar. Who knows?
Actually, I think the one that actually tosses him around is actually Ronda Rousey, because we know how badass she can be.
But they both have domestic stuff.
um,
Mike, I'm torn, man. I'm torn when it comes to this fight. It's a fight that could go either way. I would like to see Cain Velasquez. I'm not a huge fan of Matt Brown, though. I'm not a huge fan of Matt Brown.
Either. He's a heck of a fighter, He is.
I'm going to go with Cain Velasquez. I'm inclined with Javier. I'm going with Cain Velasquez. I know that you go with Matt Brown, and I know that it pains you saying Matt Brown, Mike, but I'm going to go with Cain Velasquez on this one. Go ahead, Alex.
Definitely. I mean, even though Cain has had a lot of injuries, I still think he comes back. Next fight is my pick of the my fight of the night. It's Jose Aldo versus Frankie the Answer Edgar. And in this fight, I have Frankie coming on top, winning the decision. He looks freaking amazing. He's in the best shape of his life. I got Frankie Edgar winning.
I guess the answer, is the answer, like AI, yeah. The answer.
Yeah, that's right. Like AI.
That's his nickname.
But you know why I don't? You know why I never understood that, McPhee? Why I never understood that nickname for him? When it came to Allen Iverson, he was named the answer because the question was who can be the next Jordan or who's the answer to Jordan leaving. So the answer was the answer to the question. You know what I mean? I don't get why Edgar's nickname is the answer. Never quite got it. Cool nickname, but why? So go ahead with your pick, my bad.
Little trivia
for you.
I like that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I think only one person should have the nickname The Answer, and that was Allen Iverson, so I'll take the other guy.
Knox? I said fight of the night earlier, a potential, another potential fight of the night, because Frankie effing Edgar against Jose Aldo, who has everything to prove. Jose Aldo was considered one of the best goddamn fighters on the planet if he didn't keep getting hurt all the goddamn time. Frankie Edgar, the same damn thing. He just kept getting effing hurt. This will be one effing great. I refuse it. Matter of fact, this fight's so good, it's going to be so effing good, I might actually go drink some effing vodka, which is the nastiest vodka on the planet. Sorry, Steve. All right? You don't pay me, and effing vodka is effing nasty. But this effing fight is so effing good, I might have to have a shot of effing vodka. I'm stalling here because I don't know who to go with, so I got to go with Jose Aldo because, frankly, I don't like Frankie Edgar. I don't like none of that whole Jersey stuff. He dates – his boy is cool. He's real cool with Jay Wild's husband, Roger, on a couple of episodes of their show. I'm a big TV kind of guy, not a big fan, so, hey, I'm going with Jose Aldo.
F yeah.
I'm going to go with Jose Aldo as well. I think that after the embarrassing loss by my boy Conor McGregor, he's going to bounce back. He'll be Frankie Edgar. And you know what? After my boy Conor McGregor gets through Nate Diaz, which I think he will. I think he's going to be ready, whether you like it or not, Mike. They're going to be a little rematch. I think he needs to beat Frankie Edgar, and then you're going to see McGregor and Aldo part two.
Yeah, you need to see it.
Definitely, yes.
All right. Javi, go ahead.
Yes, then you got Daniel Cormier fighting the replacement, the guy who saved the day, Anderson Silva. At this point, I mean, this is a safe pick. I would say Daniel Cormier is going to win this fight.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think Daniel Cormier just takes him down, beats him up. I would say Daniel Cormier with the decision, winning the fight.
I think Anderson Silva is going to win. He's going to knock him out and break his shin at the same time.
God, y'all are a bunch of DC haters. Y'all are a bunch of DC, John Jones loving.
Hold on. First of all, he just picked one pick DC and one pick Anderson Silva.
I'm talking about you and McPhee.
Hold on. What do you mean me and McPhee? I didn't pick nobody yet. You going to yell at me and I didn't pick nobody yet?
Hey, look, I couldn't pick John Jones because obviously he's doing blow and hiding it. So, you know, I'll pick Anderson Silva and his broken shin.
He's not doing blow, people.
His broken knee.
Listen, and this is a knocker set up Hugo. When I first heard word of this fight happening and people were tweeting me and inboxing me like, Mike Knox, why is this? Well, frankly, because he's a name. That's the only thing about this fight is that Anderson Silva is a name. Besides that, you know what else Anderson Silva is going to be? He's going to be blood, sweat, guts, and everything else on the mat.
Broken shin.
Daniel Cormier is going to take him to the ground and beat his ass within the first round. They said this is the most mixed match. This is why I said Brock and Daniel Cormier, because Superman Kryptonite, weakness is Kryptonite. We all know how you beat Anderson Silva and how you beat Showtime Anthony Pettis. They cannot take overpowering wrestlers. It's over before it even happens. Daniel Cormier's mad. He has something to prove. He's going to cut a hell of a promo when he's done because he's mad and John Jones isn't here. He's going to beat the mess out of Anderson Spider-Silva. And if he wasn't Anderson and Spider-Silva, he might be somebody else on their way out of the UFC because it's going to be his sixth loss. He's here to be 0-5-1 in his last six fights.
Who's
this
that,
is
Spider?
And that,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, and
oh, wow. This is the shame he even had this fight. I'm sorry. This is – I get
yeah,
it.
It should have been Michael Bisping, though. Hey, that's who it should have been, realistically.
Right. It should have been Michael Bisping. At least you got somebody that can wrestle and fight. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, with all due respect, and I'm not a big Michael the Count Bisbee fan because I'm not a big fan of people from England talking trash in America, which I'm not biggie fond of at the moment right now either. But, good God, at least Michael Bisbee comes to fight and he would be a good, you know, he could wrestle. All you got to do is take him to the ground. We already know that. Shel Sonnen was 45 seconds away from dominating him for five rounds. And I love Anderson and Spider-Silva. But Daniel Cormier is somebody who wrestles. That's his game plan, is to wrestle you. And he's out weighing him by 40 pounds? This is a travesty. This is Sam Mock.
What was your okay, so your pick – hold up. So your pick is DC, first round knockout.
TKO. No, not knockout. A stoppage. Somebody's going to have to stop him from whooping his ass.
So you think he's just going to strike the hell out of Anderson Silva is what you're saying?
He's going to go out there. He's going to throw one or two punches. He's going to grab him. He's going to slam him. He's going to ground and pound him. Not like the ground and pound I did last night or this morning. He's going to ground and pound him.
Woo!
And the fight's going to be over with 3 minutes to 2 minutes left in the first round. This fight's over quick.
Sorry. I'm going to go with the first round submission. I think he makes – hold on really quick. I think he makes him tap out. I think
he
makes him tap out.
He rips his shin off and beats him with it. He's going to beat him with his shin.
I think he makes him tap out. And DC – I'm telling you right now, DC after that, who else in the light heavyweight division does he have to fight besides John Jones?
Nobody. That's the only person he can't beat.
His dealer.
that's
a good one.
Just to piss off Huggle even more. In the words of the former champ, Mr. AKA, I love booger sugar. Cocaine's a hell of a drug. If I beat your ass in the prime of my getting high life, how you going to beat me when I'm sober? I guess the world may never know. Go ahead, Hugo.
No. Javier, when obviously we're not going to – I honestly don't say we're going to see John Jones and Daniel Cormier anyway, guys. I think that ship has sailed.
It's gone bye-bye.
And it's unfortunate. So we never really got to know.
We got Manny Pacquiao versus Mayweather. We may get David Cormier versus – we got Holyfield and Tyson after the fact. It may still happen, just – I don't see it.
It may not even happen in UFC. It could happen at Bellator.
How about that?
How
about that?
Yeah, that'd be the WCW of MMA. Go ahead, Javier. What's the next fight, man?
So that the next fight is the fight we all here looking to see. We got the next Brock Lesnar, the behemoth, taking Hunt. And at this point, I mean, I'm going to go with my gut feeling. I think Brock is going to grind him. He's going to take him down, and he's going to give him a whooping. I really believe he's going to win a decision. I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar.
All right. McPree?
I say Brock.
Okay.
I got Brock, but I'm going to repeat what I've been saying since the first time I saw this fight signed. Brock Lesnar has a glass jaw. Mark Hunt has a fist that's the size that's like an anvil. If he puts those paws on him, Brock Lesnar's going to go night-night. Unfortunately, I don't think he gets the chance. So I'm going with Brock Lesnar. Second round stoppage.
I'm going to go with Mark Hunt. I'm going Mike Tyson.
If I had money to put on it, it's not a bad bet. I'm telling people, everybody thinks that Brock Lesnar's going to walk away with this. It's not that easy. Mark Hunt, and you guys can adopt it as Hugo and Javier. There's certain sports where a guy just gets better after he loses a bunch of times. You know what I mean? And Mark Hunt's on
right.
a five-fight win streak, all by knockout. He's got confidence. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be the guy that loses to a wrestling guy. It's not
exactly.
a bad pick. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think the writing's on the wall.
Here's the thing, though, Mike. We all know that Brock Lesnar has contractual obligations with the WWE. He also has to protect his investment, you know, with the millions and millions and millions of dollars, like the primetime players used to say, you know, against the WWE. We know that he also has a fight at SummerSlam against Randy Orton. It's already been confirmed.
Which I dropped way before anybody else did, by the way. So
you're the Nostradamus of the WWE. You are. But anyway, let me tell you, Brock Lesnar, if he were to win this fight, which again, you said it, he has a glass jaw, and I agree with you. And I think with one punch, he could be out. He'll go night-night, and that's it. But what will happen if Brock Lesnar does beat Mark Hunt? What happened then? Obviously, endorsers are going to want Brock Lesnar to fight again. He's going to see the dollar signs, and then you're going to see a conflict between the WWE and UFC, although he has a WWE contract. And we know that Brock Lesnar does whatever the hell he wants.
But I don't see a conflict because I look at it like this, Hugo. The winner here is Brock Lesnar, the WWE, and UFC. If he wins, it's better for UFC. It's better for Brock Lesnar. It's better for the WWE. If he
How
fights
is
winning,
it better
so
for the UFC?
Win, if he fights again, it doesn't. He could be the first person that does this on a regular basis. And this is why I say this. I'm not a fan of part-timers, right? That's my disclaimer.
Right.
Hear it out. I'm not a fan of part-timers. However, some people deserve to be part-timers. Brock Lesnar, The Rock, Sting, they could be part-timers. Guys that come in for the four big ones, and I don't care. Because they are what Vince McMahon said he was when he brought him back. He's a special attraction. You can't get excited about if your wife or your girlfriend wore the tassel on her nipples every single night. You wouldn't be excited. But that one night she put the tassels on and the edible panties on, oh, yeah, it's going damn. It's like Conor McGregor said, it's red panties night. If she wore red panties every night, it's not exciting.
Exactly. I don't know, though, man. I don't know how Lesnar, how the cage rush is going to come around. I don't know if he's going to – what he's going to be feeling. Remember, it's different. He hasn't done this in how long, Javier? 5 years? Has it been 5 years since he left the UFC?
Yes, it's been 5 years since he
Overeem. And he's left against PD's Overeem. Against PD's, you're right.
Hey, I need Mr. PD.
I know you love
to the ream Overeem. I do love me some.
You do love yourself some PD's Overeem. But at the end of the day, he literally just took this fight on in early May. I think early May or late May. Because he had enough time to actually train.
Here's the thing. That's what they let us know that he took this fight. Okay. Brock Lesnar hasn't been on Raw since WrestleMania. So
okay.
I mean, he's had plenty of time to get ready for this fight, in my opinion. They knew this was gonna happen. It just look at the like Johnny Drama said, when you're going into a building, don't be fooled by the ambiance. Look for the underbelly. There's always an underbelly.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I didn't even look at it that way. Still, I'm still gonna go with Mark Hunt, man. I don't know what kind of cage rush this guy's gonna have. I'm gonna look also at the betting odds.
I got 4 minutes left.
No, it's fine. Javier, go on to the next fight. I'm just gonna go through the betting odds also for Lesnar and Hunt. Go ahead for the main event, man.
Definitely. So the main event, the chick I have really respect for, Misha Tate, taking on the tough, durable Amanda Nunes. But I am going with the safe pick, Misha Tate. She wins. She's going to TKO her in the third round. It's done.
Okay.
Misha Tate wins.
I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm going to sleep for a second. She's going to TKO her in the third round. I think with Javier.
I think you guys are smoking the extra booger sugar with Mr. John Jones.
Do not sleep on Amanda Nunes. This chick is a brick house. You thought that my girl, Holly Holmes, destroyed that tramp of a woman, Ronda Rousey? You ain't seen nothing yet. Misha Cupcake Tate, as much as I love her cupcakes, she goes down tonight, y'all. We got a new champion, and we got another loss coming by Ronda Rousey because it's about fighting, and styles make fights. I love Misha Tate, but she loses tonight, fellas.
Ooh. That's a pretty – okay, okay. McPhee, out of these two bars, who would you want?
He already said Misha Tate,
man.
It was on you,
man. Okay, I didn't – my bad. My bad. No, I was looking at the other fighting odds.
We win order. What about your order? We all out of order.
Nunes is winning. I agree with Mike Knox. I think Nunes wins tonight. And you know what? And I don't want to see Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey part,
ever.
Whatever the
ever.
Hell they will fight.
Ever.
Really quick, guys. Really quick. Remember, UFC 200 is on live tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. The odds for Brock Lesnar, he's actually now the underdog. He is
really?
The underdog. I got him at 3-1 odds to beat Mark Hunt, and then I got Mark Hunt to beat Brock Lesnar at 1-6 odds. Not 6-1, 1-6. So
I
got to
hang up. I'm calling my boy in Vegas. I'm about to drop a hunt down on this one.
Yeah, that is the fight odds for tonight for Mark Hunt versus Brock Lesnar.
But hey, guys, unfortunately, I got to go. I always love being a part of the Hour of Power and Sports. McPhee, thank you for joining Hugo and coming apart. Javier, I hope to see you
baby.
Again. I love your insight on some things there. I can preach. I can learn some things from you clearly. But hey, guys, just make sure you follow me on Twitter for the listening audience out there, Mike_Pierman Sr., and on the Snapchat, wherever social media is sold, which is absolutely free. So you have no excuse not to follow me and download these shows on iTunes, Stitchers, and go to Fox Sports Radio 1340am.com for all your BDSIR network up information. I'm out of here, Hugo. Have a good show, guys.
Peace. All right, brother. Take care. We have roughly about 29 minutes left on the show. UFC 200.
Right,
I'm excited.
Let's get with the nonsense.
Anyway, let's go ahead and switch up a little bit. And by the way, Javier, thank you once again for, obviously running the ship in the UFC. I'm sure that McPhee, the little bit that he got to learn, I'm sure he's soaking it in. I'm trying to get him into being a UFC enthusiast. I'm just trying really, really, really hard. But this guy, he doesn't want to budge. He'd rather watch the fake stuff. He'd rather watch The Undertaker versus Kane against, give me a good fight against McGregor and Diaz. I don't know why. I'll never get to it why. But let's continue on, and I digress on this. Really quick.
It's simple. My take on UFC is nothing, for you guys to get mad at. I mean, I just think it's too fluky. Like, you can be the greatest fighter, and this guy just takes one lucky swing, hits you in the jaw, and the two, you're done. Please.
It's like a street fight. But it's like a street fight, though, McPhee. It's like a street fight. If you and I, if you and I were excited to throw blows.
I used to love
and you, I'm clearly the underdog against you to fight you, but if I get you to go ahead and give you one punch in the face, the underdog wins, and that's the way fighting is. Bro, it's like NFL. It's like anything.
Yeah, well, man, it's, I don't know. I just can't do it.
It's those small gloves, man. Anything could happen with the small gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's get to
that's why you got to love it more. You just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, but he'd rather watch a bunch of 300-pound behemoths wrestling each other in the middle of the squared circle than to watch Conor McGregor fight.
I'd like to see Brock Lesnar fight some real little dude. Like, it used to be back in the day when the UFC first started and you won, like, 70 grand at the end. That was fun. Like Dan Severn, that guy was cool. You know
let's go ahead and continue on with the show, guys. We have roughly about 26 minutes left or so on with the show. We talked a little bit about the NBA free agency. We talked a full hour, guys, of UFC, and even McPhee was actually on the conversation, which was pretty cool. But let's go to McPhee. You know what? We're less than a month away. We're 27 days from football. The return.
We're going to talk
a little bit of football in just a minute, because I need to ask McPhee what he thinks about the Lionel Messi scandal, which obviously he decided to retire from international competition. We'll get that in a second. But you know what?
since we have a little bit of time, I think we need to talk about the NFL because the NFL is 27 days away. And I know McPree cannot wait, although we don't know how his Miami Dolphins are going to be looking.
It's going to be another season of mediocrity, my friend.
Last year, if you guys were, you know, we're avid listeners of the Man Cave radio show, which, by the way, just so you know, our new Hour of Power will have an incorporation of the Man Cave radio show and Hour of Power. You guys are going to see. You guys are going to love it, so stay tuned. It'll be every single Saturday night. We still haven't come up with a time. Me and McPree need to come up with a time to see when we're going to do it, but just keep an eye on the Twitter, at BDSR, no foul play. I am going to be using that Twitter handle until we launch our show, and then we're going to have our Twitter handle, but at BDSR, no foul play, so you can know more status about the show. But what do you think about the NFL really quick? And Javier, I know that, you know, you watch it, but kind of like McPree, he doesn't watch UFC much. I know you don't watch the NFL much, but McPree, the NFL, Miami Dolphins, what are your do you have high expectations for the Miami Dolphins? Expectations, you said mediocrity. What you think, man?
Nope.
That's
it's
it. Nope.
It's going to be a whole lot of what we had last year. Same
all right.
crap. And we're worse off.
So,
we don't have Lamar Miller, and we don't have half of, you know, we lost Olivier Vernon, and, you know, we lost more people, and we're crap. That's all I got to say about that.
Are you crap enough to have a losing record against 6-10 and under for the Miami Dolphins?
No, man.
Because you know what? There's a little
bit
that I like to play with you, and let's take a look at the schedule, because now that the schedules have been released and they've been released for quite a while, I'm actually gonna go in and look at the Miami Dolphins schedules. And you know what?
Oh, God.
It's a perfect way for you to start off your 2016 NFL season. Week one, listen to this, Javi. The Miami Dolphins travel to the West Coast to face the Seattle Seahawks. On week one, which, by the way, I think they're going to be the Super Bowl champions next year, but we'll talk about it a little bit later on in August when the new show rolls around.
Don't do it to me now.
McPree, Seahawks, week two. Tell you right now. Week two, Miami Dolphins will face none other than, the New England Patriots. That's 0-2. Sunday, September 25th.
I think they have a bye week.
Oh, they have the Browns. I think you could beat the Browns. I think you'll be 1-2. I think you'll beat the Browns.
Look. I'm a Dolphin.
I'll stop the bleeding.
With the Dolphins, nothing is secure. They can go up and start off 2-0 against the Patriots and the Seahawks, and then end up losing to the damn Browns. That's how the Dolphins are. So, I would say 0-3, maybe 1-2.
Oh, man, so what do you think?
What do you look towards the whole NFL?
No, not towards the Miami Dolphins. I'm talking about towards the whole NFL season in general.
It's the NFL, man, and once it comes around and, you know, the NBA free agency took over the offseason a little bit this year, so it was fun. You know, we wasn't all football all the time. But, I mean, I'm excited to see the new season, see the rookies, see, you know, the players have changed, you know, and hopefully Cam Newton takes that championship this year, man. I don't see anybody that's going to be as strong as them again this year, man.
You don't see the Seattle Seahawks, contending against them, because the Seattle Seahawks do look like a team that they can contend with all the way towards the Super Bowl.
Russell Wilson got married. He lost his virginity. He's not going to do a thing.
The Patriots, though. Patriots have a chance. I think they could.
The Patriots obviously have a damn chance.
Oh, wait.
Patriots.
Tom Brady, though, he's still suspended for 4 games, isn't he, until they go back to the court of arbitration, if I'm not mistaken. They're still awaiting appealing, I believe, decision on that, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I don't know. I have no clue. I haven't been following that. I've been too depressed with Wade.
they've been impressed with Wade. All right, you know what? Obviously, I'm going to stop the bleeding now. I could hear heartbreak. I could hear depression. I could hear.
Man, you're ruining my weekend here, man. Jesus Christ, man.
Well, you know what?
I was having a great time, having fun on the Hour of Power, and then you have to come up and bring the Dolphins piece on.
Roughly about 20 minutes. Don't you go do what you love best anyway? Don't you get to do that? So
yeah.
Calm down, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you. But anyway, we have roughly about 20. Actually, we have roughly about 17. Well, you know what? We're gonna leave a little bit early. We have roughly about 10 minutes left on the show, and then I'll go ahead and end it. Guys, really quick. I have to talk a little bit about football. Why? Because tomorrow is the final of the European Championship. Javier and I will be going to watch it, France versus Portugal. I know, McPree, that you haven't watched any of the European games, but you did keep up with Team USA.
I've been checking them out.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, Copa America.
I'm into international stuff. The whole league stuff, it's too many teams for me to play college football. There's so many of them, it's like I can't keep up. But international soccer, it's a little bit easier to, you know.
Just say, by the way, in this network, we don't call it soccer. I always have to go ahead
and tell me it's not soccer.
It's football, okay? There's a leg. You're taking a ball, and it's going into the net. It's called football, not soccer.
Hey, we're in America. It's called soccer.
By the way, we're not in America. We're the United States of America, which, once again, I'm right, you're wrong. Let's continue on. Anyway, Javier, tomorrow, France versus Portugal, huge, huge, huge game. Cristiano Ronaldo, as we know, picking up some steam, you know, later on in this tournament, especially into the latter stages of the knockout rounds. However, the first group stages, Ronaldo wasn't there. Obviously, they have drawn every single game until they faced Wales in the semifinal. They haven't won a game in regulation after the 90th minute.
It's good to see somebody doesn't choke when they're taking penalty kicks.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, he did choke to beat Iceland, if I'm not mistaken. It did smash the bar, and there was a team against like Iceland. Iceland is not Chile. I just want to point that out there. And the pressure of a nation of you being the number one ranked team in the world isn't above you. So it's a little bit different. But anyway, I digress. France, we know that they got through Iceland, they got through Germany in a fantastic game by Antoine Griezmann. Javier, quickly, what are your predictions for tomorrow's game? France versus Portugal, Ballon d'Or candidate, which Ballon d'Or is kind of like an MVP, obviously, of international football. But Antoine Griezmann leading his men. What do you think, France versus Portugal? Are you excited for this game tomorrow?
I am a lot. Portugal has showed up, especially in the later stages. Although I think this whole tournament has been built around the powerful team that France has. They have been able to put it together. Pogba's been strong. Griezmann has been masterful with his finishes. I mean, just France has a powerful team. So I think they're going to win in a tactical battle because Cristiano Ronaldo is going to come in and going to come in strong and he's going to attack. But I still think France has – they just have the overall better team. So I think they pull through and they win. Probably – I would say 2-1 if I had to pick a score. How about you?
Here's what I'm going to say. Actually, McPree, let me ask this question, and then I'll go ahead and let you talk about this. But when it comes to France, they have been probably the best team in the whole tournament. I agree with you. With from Oliver Giroud, which, by the way, I don't know where the hell he's come around. Obviously, the striker for Arsenal. We know that he struggled last year in the Barclays Premier League. Dimitri Payet, West Ham's West Ham's golden boy. We know that he signed with West Ham last season. Obviously, bigger teams, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man United, Man City, are actually looking into Dimitri Payet and bringing him over after the stellar season that he had last year in West Ham. And now, also, this European competition. Everyone knows that I love Greasy Griezmann. You know me, Javi. I always rave about Antoine Griezmann. I cried when Atletico Madrid lost the final, especially when Antoine Griezmann missed that penalty when we were up in Orlando in the UEFA Champions League. Final up in Orlando. I was devastated, dude. I was devastated.
You really cried.
I always cry. When it comes to football, I cry, dude, okay? Don't judge me. Love me anyway. But anyway.
I do love you. Why are you, how are you going to cry? It's like grown men playing a game and they're getting paid millions of dollars.
It's passion. I posted something on my Facebook, all right? It's passion. It's my passion. It's what I love. You don't like it? Listen to it anyway. That's the reason why I have the highest worst show on the BDSR network, aside this one on No Foul Play. Just put it, but I digress. Anyway, you know, I love Greasy Griezmann. I love Greasy Griezmann, Dimitri Payet, Hugo Lloris, by the way, the goalkeeper, Tottenham goalkeeper, has been fantastic throughout this season. Portugal, they just don't have enough. They haven't played well. Yes, they have. They have turned on their cylinders against Wales, but it is Wales. It's not Germany. It's not Spain. It's not Italy. It's not, you know, it's not France. And you're going to see that tomorrow. I do think Cristiano Ronaldo is going to get desperate tomorrow. Obviously, his relationship or whatever they have against Lionel Messi. He will love to outshine Lionel Messi by winning an international tournament, and he's at his best shot right now to win an international tournament. But McPree, Ronaldo against the pressure of a nation, France as a nation of, you know, coming together at their home ground tomorrow at the Parc des Princes in Paris, it's going to be too much for Cristiano Ronaldo to handle. He has over 50 million people in France against one target in Cristiano Ronaldo. And unfortunately for Portugal, they are not Real Madrid. They do not have Gareth Bale. They do not have James Rodriguez. They do not have Toni Kroos. They don't have Sergio Ramos. They don't have Dani Carvajal. They don't have Karim Benzema even, which is French. The only one that he has is scrub Nani. Nani, for God's sakes. He's a scrub that used to play at Manchester United. I do see a game. I do see Portugal scoring. I see them taking back a goal after France go up 1-0. But this game has 3-1 written all over it, McPree and Javier. I have Antoine Griezmann, Payet, and Paul Pogba to win it for France. Score prediction, McPree, since you've been, you know, keeping somewhat dabs on the competition.
2-0 France.
2-0 France. Which, by the way, have you seen the highlights though, right? Like on Sports Center and things like that. So
yeah,
have you seen like some of the highlights? They look good, right? They look really good.
Yeah, they look good.
And plus they're hosting them in their hometown, so you know.
They got
that crowd behind them, man. And
home field
advantage is it's really big, especially when it comes to international play. I mean, that you get the whole country there behind you. So
right. It's not like an NBA or it's not like an NBA or NHL or MLB where it's a best of seven. You get to go back home. It's totally different. And to be able to play your home nation in a final of an international tournament, realistically, it's a whole country against you. And that and the pressure that you get on that is monumental. So look, that's tomorrow at 3:00 on the Four Letter Network. I will be watching it. I will be drinking. I don't care what anyone says because when there's football around, I do drink. So just putting that out there.
Crying.
But really quick, and cry. If Griezmann misses another penalty, I just might cry.
Can you tweet out a picture of you crying tomorrow?
Javier will take a picture of me tomorrow.
Javier, yeah.
If that
does
come around.
You're going to be with Hugo. If he cries, you take a picture and you tweet it out.
I'll take a picture and tweet it out to the world. I mean, it's a true story. It did happen. We were in the ESPN bar in Orlando watching the final, watch Atletico Madrid lose, and, I mean, the emotions were everywhere.
Emotions were everywhere. And not only that, I was bitching on my family. I wanted to fight Javier. I wanted to fight the world. I was upset that day. I was upset. And you know, McFree, we live in Florida with this 100-degree weather and alcohol gets involved. Yeah. It's not good.
Don't mess with vodka and tears, man.
More like Patron and tears. I don't like vodka. I actually hate vodka. So it's more like Patron and tears. That's even worse, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway, McFree, it was a great show, man. I'm actually going to go ahead and end it early because, you know, realistically, the last 10 minutes is where we plug all our stuff. Just so you guys know, before I let McFree plug his stuff, I know McFree's a very, very, very busy guy now, and I'm happy to have him as my co-host, and he's making time to be able to be my co-host in this journey that we're now calling, guys. This is our season finale of the Hour of Power in Sports. We are now going to be called the Hour of Power in Sports and Entertainment. So
entertainment.
Here's what I'm going to do. In the next couple of days, I'm going to go ahead and make out a Twitter page, which I will also link at BDSR Network, at BDSR No Foul Play, at Solon Sports, at Real Mike Knox, or excuse me, at Michael Kerman Sr., at Real Hugo Rada, which is me. McFree, do you have a Twitter? I don't remember if you do.
At McFree13.
Okay, so at McFree13. So we're going to go ahead and obviously publicize the big launch opening of the Hour of Power in Sports and Entertainment. It's going to be looking like around the same time when the Premier League season, when No Foul Play, our new No Foul Play show also kicks off in the middle of August. You're looking at around the 19th to the 26th. So that's when we're going to start premiering our show. Time, it's still to be determined. It's TBD, because I have to get on with McFree. But, guys, remember, this is the reason why Mike Knox, this is Mike Knox, baby. I am not changing it. I'm just tweaking it. That's why I still call
it
Hour of Power in Sports. But we're making it our own. And you heard him here tonight on the air. It's our show now. In fact, I talked to him offline, McFree, when we're doing Solon Sports. I was hosting the Solon Sports a couple of days ago, and I'm like, yo, dude, you took over my show. He's like, my bad. If it's your show, it's your show. So you know what? But big ups to him. He gives me the power. He gives me the keys to the kingdom. And, guys, realistically, we really do appreciate it. But anyway.
Thank you for letting the party animals in.
especially you when they hear announced. Well, actually, you know what? I wouldn't even spoil it until we get the new show started. But anyway, don't forget to listen to the Fox Sports Solon Sports 1340 AM Hopewell every Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 with the crew. There are times where Mike Knox is the host. There are times where Micah is the host. There are times where I am the host, also joined by Jay Chris, as well as Wally with Wally's Corner. If you like baseball, that's the show you want to listen to because Wally is a whiz when it comes to baseball. I don't know nothing. I stay quiet when baseball goes around. But if you want to learn about baseball, Wally is a man to go to. But anyway, that's every single Monday through Friday. Also, the guys from the Smack Talk Center here on the BDSR Network and my show. My show, it's not my flagship show because both of these are my flagship show. But the guys, Rick, Andy, and now Kevin Morrison, they will be joining me every single Sunday for BDSR Networks Presents No Foul Play. It will be revamped, and we're going to come to you live every time in August after the Premier League season fixtures have ended. I am your host, as always. My name is Hugo, at Real Hugo Radio. McFree, once again, your Twitter handle?
I'm McFree13.
Hi, guys. It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Javier, thank you for being on the show with us, man. Your insight to the UFC was very, very, very enticing and entertaining, man. I hope to have you on again soon, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Same here.
Awesome. All right, guys.
And with that being said, like Mike Knox likes to say, I love me. What is it? I forgot what it is. Something about don't love God. Oh, I'm doing some me and always love God. I'm trying to be like Mike. That's the last time
don't
you're going
like,
to try to hear
don't be
Mike.
Like, don't be like Mike. Don't be like Mike.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to be like, Mike, we're out of here. We're out of here. We'll see you all in August, please.
August.
You don't like it? Keep listening. Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling, came across the barbershop, stepped into